Good evening. I was telling Pastor Caleb my dress shirts don't fit with this arm thing, so I went to my closet. I thought, I'll wear a nice polo shirt. I did not own a polo shirt that did not have like a FBI or SWAT or some kind of logo on it. I thought, well, that would not really be appropriate in case we had a visitor. So I had to do that one thing I dread more than most things, even more than Costco, is I had to go to the mall and look for a shirt. And I found a shirt that would actually fit over everything, but it was, it seemed like really expensive, but it was on sale for only $16. And I'm so thankful. I was like, so now I do have one non-logoed polo shirt. Caleb's like, you're kidding me. I've got a whole bunch of those. I said, yeah, that's how it goes. When it comes to fashion, I am not a slave. I'm simple as it can be. You know, in my Sunday school class, we've been going through the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is really like, it's like God's principles, God's biblical doctrines expressed in behavior at the application end. So it's kind of like when you study Proverbs, you're studying God from the doing end instead of from the concept end. We study doctrine and theology, and we derive from those things God's holiness, and that goes all the way down to we should behave in certain ways. Well, Proverbs starts from this end and works back. We learn about God from looking at what he calls us to do. And so it's been a fascinating study, and one of the things that it talks about from a practical perspective is, what do you do with conflict? Now, conflict is something that we are all familiar with, and hopefully none of us enjoy. We don't seek it out. But all it takes to have conflict is two people. How many of you that are married here remember your first conflict with your spouse? You remember it? Yeah? How many of you don't want to remember it? Yeah. Shelley and I had our first conflict right after our wedding, before our dinner, didn't we? Between our wedding and our celebration dinner. We didn't take long. We thought we'd get right into it. Get good at it right away, you know. And of course, in police work, you deal with a lot of conflict. Matter of fact, conflict is one of the main reasons why you get called in police work. And I've learned some things just practically about conflict, some observations, really. One is that conflict is inevitable. It is inevitable. When you have two people or more, there's going to be points in time when you disagree. And that translates into conflict. And conflict in and of itself is not a bad thing. It depends on how we approach it and how we view it and why we're engaging in it as well. Secondly, even godly people can disagree. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We'll get over there and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll continue on. Acts chapter 15, look at verses 35 through 40. It says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So John Mark had left before. And so in this case, Paul's like, I don't want to take him. And look what it says here. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. We're talking about Paul and Barnabas, okay, those are pretty godly people. And they had a conflict that was so severe, so sharp, the Bible says, that they agreed to separate because they could not agree to agree. The word conflict there, by the way, literally that contention means literally provocation and irritation, an angry dispute. So this was not a friendly interchange between the two of them. It was a very positioned argument that resulted in them saying, well, look, if we can't agree, then we're just going to go different ways. Okay. Well, so we will. And they agreed to go different ways. And so even godly people, as we see from the scripture, can disagree about things. All right. Thirdly, all conflicts have two ingredients. All conflicts have two ingredients. They have these two in common. They have an issue, a position, some issues. There's something that's at play. And then you have opposing views. And all conflicts have those. And I'm sharing this because oftentimes we get in a conflict and after a while we've lost sight of why we were disagreeing. And the issue is no longer the issue. We've now gone into other things. And pretty soon our conflict migrates to all kinds of things. Sometimes historical, sometimes talking about past wounds and things like that. In other words, conflict unchecked really runs a very disastrous course. The fourth thing is, it is possible for both views to be valid. They don't have to be, but it's possible that both people can be correct. Sometimes both are incomplete, but both can be correct in what they believe and what they see and what they think. And oftentimes conflicts arise over opinions. Now the thing about opinions is opinions are just that, they're opinions. When we're not talking about a principle, but about just a preference, it's one of the best ways to get into a conflict is to argue a preference as though it's a principle and then hold people accountable to follow your preference. Okay, so that's just a reality, but both views can be valid in a conflict. And lastly, people define conflict differently. And we'll touch on this, then we'll pray. But people define conflict differently, and that's important to understand because it is possible to have a discussion with someone and you perceive that there's real conflict, but the other person doesn't perceive it as conflict at all. They're not upset. This is just a healthy discussion. So your threshold for comfort concerning conflict determines when you're in it. And once you feel like you're in it, certain physiological things happen. Your heart rate goes up. Your blood pressure goes up. You get more anxious. You get a knot in the pit of your stomach. All kinds of things start kicking in. Fight or flight situations. You don't like it. It's uncomfortable. And the more uncomfortable that we get, the more unnatural we behave. And so if Shelley and I are having a discussion, we were raised decidedly different. I was raised in a home where we discussed things. We talked about them. We debated them. It was just open, honest, and we would push on each other. But it was never rude. It was never harsh, but it was definitely colliding views, but not in a way that hurt feelings. I didn't know that her family was not like that when we first met. And so we're sitting around the table at her house and with her family, and her dad made a statement, and I said, well, I don't agree with that. I thought that's just a healthy response. You know, wow, I disagree with that. I had no idea that that was like saying, you're an idiot. But that's what it was like to him, because that was conflict. And I had launched into more conflict exercises with her family than I could have ever imagined before I ever knew it. And finally, one day, Shelley goes, why do you keep picking fights with my family? And I said, what are you talking about? I was not anywhere near how I define conflict, but they were very much. So understand this, that if you have a low threshold for comfort around a discussion where you disagree with someone, you may feel like it's conflict when they don't. That's entirely possible. Okay? But we tend to think that if I feel like I'm in conflict, so are they. Okay, they're the other side. So let's pray and look at what God says from Proverbs about things that we can do and how we can work our way through conflict, because it is going to happen. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for this evening. Lord, for your word and the practical nature of your word, especially the book of Proverbs. God, I pray you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us today. Lord, we need to live lives that please you, and that involves things that we do and things that we say and choices that we make. And I pray tonight that we would just learn from your word, that, Lord, we would desire to live together, dear God, as a church body in such a way that when conflict arises, dear Lord, it's dealt with appropriately. And Lord, that there's no scars or wounds that are left, because the desire for peace is so great and the agreement upon truth is so profound that, dear Lord, at the end of the day, the conflict is resolved in favor of grace and truth. I give you the glory now in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing is God's view. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6 with me, please. Proverbs chapter 6. Looking at verses 16 through 19. want to begin with God's perspective because that is our baseline. These six things, it says in verse 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Now, if when you read something and it says, God hates this, what would that invite us to do? To pay attention, right? He hates this. That doesn't mean he just doesn't like it. It doesn't irritate him. He hates it, okay? And God's hate is a perfect hate. It's morally just and sound. So if he hates it, it's because it's deserving of that level of indignation. So he says, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Well, so hate, abomination, strong words. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Okay, now you'll notice that most of those have to do with speaking, by the way. But look at that last one. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Somebody who goes around causing problems, causing dissension. The word sowing there means to let loose, send out, or release like an arrow or like a bad dog, okay? Letting it go. And discord means strife or discontentment. So you can picture somebody walking around and just letting go with strife and discontentment like a little arrow or like a little ankle biter that just goes out there to bother people, okay? God says, I hate it when people use their God-given liberty to go around creating strife and discontentment in the church. I hate it. It's an abomination to me. And that's a strong warning for us because sometimes we can allow ourselves to develop the view that somehow that's part of our job, and it's not. Okay? Sowing discord is not okay. Not now, not ever. God hates it. It's an abomination. God's view is that it's unacceptable. In James 3:16, it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Okay, James, very frank, very direct. Where envy and strife is, this discord, this disunity, where this kind of disharmony is, there is envy and strife. Now, one of the mistakes that we make is we assume that peace is the other person's responsibility and not ours. But it's our responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. I'm not responsible for what you say, but I'm completely responsible for what I say and for how I respond to what you say. Your words can never make me be ungodly. That's still a choice at the end of the day. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24, looking at this perspective of God's view, he gives us some advice. A kind of person, and I'm not speaking of anyone in particular, but a kind of person who sows discord, who is constantly stirring things up, is a person that really God says we got to watch out for. Proverbs 22 says, 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. So people that are allowing their emotions to drive them, that are angry and furious, people that are sowing discord and strife and mixing people up, they're dangerous. They're dangerous, okay? And it's very important that we understand that. We don't ever want to be that person, okay? Like I said, in police work, I was involved in a lot of conflict, and of course, as a police officer, you're supposed to win every conflict. I mean, that's the goal. You're representing the law, you're representing the public, and you don't get paid to lose fights, and you don't get paid to lose disagreements. You say to someone, you're under arrest, and they say, no, I'm not, that's not the beginning of a discussion. Okay? And so one of the things that was, when you develop a level of comfort with conflict, it can be easy to forget that other people don't have that same level. And that's not, police work is a synthetically high level of conflict. And so I had to learn, and my wife has really been helpful with me in learning that directness can sometimes invite conflict unnecessarily. And so it's important we understand that we do not want to be the person, from God's perspective, who is doing one of those things that he hates or is an abomination. Now that being said, let's take a look at What do we do when it starts? Turn to Proverbs 17, 14. Really good point here. Every one of us has opportunity for conflict, sometimes multiple times a day. And oftentimes we fall into the trap, we take the bait. Or we don't engage in the conflict verbally, but we walk away from the conflict angry or upset or frustrated because we didn't want to have the conflict, but we also didn't want to engage the person. And so the first thing here is conflict is easiest to control at the start when it's small. Proverbs 17, 14. It says, the beginning of strife is when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Strife or conflict has a beginning. A word, a phrase, an accusation, a comment, a statement, a misunderstanding. Oftentimes, it can be even an assumption about someone else's motives, that they did something for a reason we think that we know. The point is that the conflict has a start, and that's when we need to be engaged in bringing it back, as soon as you feel it. Now, how many of you have a hard time feeling when conflict starts to begin? You don't, do you, right? Can you tell? Richard, can you tell when you're on the threshold of a conflict? Huh? You can't tell? I disagree with you. No. No, can you tell, John, when you and Meiji, have you ever had a disagreement?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell when it's getting started? Yeah. You can feel that, can't you? Jim and Wendy, can you feel that, can't you?
Never.
Honesty's next week. We can all feel it. When we feel that feeling, that whatever it is, maybe it's a, oh yeah, whatever it is, when you feel that, that has a beginning. That verse talks about the fact that that's like water that's starting to be released. If you catch it soon, you can close it back off. But if it gets going too far, at some point, you say something and it just goes too far. We've all done that where we said that word, said that phrase, that thing to somebody else, and that was like, okay, it's on now, because we did not back away at the beginning. Conflict has a beginning. James 1, 19 and 20, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Oh, boy. If we would listen more and speak less. He says, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It is entirely possible for our speech to way outrun our brain. Just to race so far ahead of it. And James says, look, you got to be slow to speak. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Because at the beginning, when that conflict first, you first feel it, that's the chance to bring it back. It doesn't have to go down that road. But what gets involved when we start, especially when we get our buttons pushed, what gets involved? Our pride, our ego. Oh, yeah? Oh, really? We'll see. Well, I remember when, okay? And then you start making mistakes like saying, like, well, you never. Well, that other person can always remember one time when they did. Or you always. Oh, well, I remember one time when I didn't. Okay, and so see, you're now you're exaggerating. Well, that's because and pretty soon it's back and forth. You see, conflict, it does have a beginning. And at the beginning, it's the easiest time to slow it down. Ask good questions. My wife and I, she didn't know she was going to be such a topic tonight. We may have conflict later, but not really. Calder stayed the night with us Friday night, and I'm in the kitchen, and I look out the window, and they're out there because Calder loves to water the flowers and things like that. And so I hear the water on the house come on. And we also have irrigation water, and we irrigate with irrigation water. We don't water with city water because it's really expensive. And so I look out the window, I hear the water come on, and I'm just doing things. When I get to the sink, I look out the window, they're coming back in, and the sprinkler's on. I said to Shelley, I said, What exactly did I say? Something about did you turn off the? No, you're not watering with city water. I said, well, are you watering with city water? And she said, no.
No, I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that, But see, that was Calder with the hose on a couple little pots. It wasn't the sprinkler. I saw the sprinkler. So I'm thinking the sprinkler is on. She said, oh, yes. Oh, but that was Calder. Yeah, we were watering with city water. And so I'm thinking, so she'll realize that, go back out and turn off that city water and put on the... Well, she doesn't do anything. She just starts helping me, and we're making stuff in the kitchen. I'm thinking, she's just ignoring me. Just because I have one bad arm doesn't mean I can't hear. And finally, it's like, I keep looking out the window because the sprinkler's still on. I'm thinking, And then I said, so what about the sprinkler? She goes, oh, that's on irrigation water. I always put on the irrigation water. You see, we were talking about the same things, but from different perspectives. And because of what I saw was different than what she saw, we were on the threshold of a disagreement. And I just didn't say a word. I mean, I'm not super smart, but I can just be quiet. And I was quiet, and I waited, and finally I said, so is the sprinkler still, why is the sprinkler still on out there? Oh, that's on this. And then she's like, oh, you thought I was using that for city water for that? And it's just and you think, well, that's pretty silly. Well, how many times have you had arguments over really, really silly things? I mean, how many of you have had an argument on the way to church? Has that ever happened to anybody? You're all cowards. I see all you smiling, but no one's raising their hand. That's the best time. I mean, it's like, that's the best. God wants you to go to church focused on him, and Satan wants you to go to focus totally distracted. Okay? And even to the point where you say, well, that's fine. We're not going to go to church if we're not in agreement like this. Well, who wins there? But yeah, we can think that way. So it's very important that you listen. 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 And James says, ask questions. Man, questions are so powerful. If you study the Gospels, Jesus asked people questions all the time. It's all the time. Because you may see the picture, but you don't see the whole picture necessarily. So it's very important that this has a starting point. Recognize it when it happens. Ask good questions. Listen and not just commit to the debate. Number three, anger. If anger appears, respond quickly. Proverbs chapter 15. Maybe you miss it. I am probably the world's worst person at picking up hints. I just am. You know, people would hint things to me to kind of offend me, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. You're going to have to offend me directly because the hint I just don't get. My wife's like, did that bother you? I said, what? What bothered me? And it's not because I'm like super mature. I'm just like, don't get hints. I just don't get them, which was perilous for our marriage early on. But we got through that. Okay, so let's say somebody does. You say something. You mean it in the best of intention. I'm going to assume all these through that we mean in the best of intention. You mean it in the best of intention. You just make an observation. You don't know what's going on in their world. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what's going on in their mind. So you say something that to you seems innocent and innocuous. In Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. There's a big difference between using something aright and pouring it out, okay? And the point here is that if you say something and someone gets angry, it's really, really important at that point that you respond quickly with kindness. With kindness and with understanding, with questions. Oh, I think I might have been misunderstood there. That upset you. I can see that bothered you a little bit. Let's talk about that because I wasn't trying to. Please forgive that. Okay, take the humble road. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. When somebody says something to me or to you that offends us, and we respond, if they respond with a like level of energy, that usually is the beginning of a real disagreement. And maybe it doesn't get really loud and boisterous. Maybe it just gets more like Paul and Silas at the end when they just, or Paul and Barnabas, when they just say, we're going to go in different directions. I mean, the phrase, agree to disagree, that's not a scriptural phrase, okay? You don't find that in the Bible, okay? And I'm not saying we have to agree on everything, but here's the real point, I think, from studying this out is it doesn't really matter on things that are not biblical principles. It doesn't matter that we agree on something that's not about truth. We're talking about, well, I think that we should go here. I think we should go here. Well, either one is okay, you know, A or B. I take this route, that route. But we can get in arguments and disagreements about things that really don't matter at all, okay? Because we have a inclination toward that. So when you see somebody, this is my advice to all of us from the word here, is when I say something that pushes someone's button, and I wasn't trying to do that at all, my response is really going to dictate to a large degree how much further that goes. And if I, when I see their reaction, their anger come back, if I respond to that kindly, gently, wisely, there's a high likelihood that we can cut that off. But if when they come back at me with a snap or with a angry retort, if my response to that is, hey, I don't know what you're so upset about, which is where we can go. We can go right back to it. You see, it just, if both sides fight, you got to fight. And so when it appears, respond quickly. That word soft answer means a gentle and tender, sincere response. And turneth away means to turn it back, turns back the wrath. So that's their wrath that you're turning back. You're rechanneling it back and saying, wait a second, you don't need this anger here. You don't need this right now in this conversation. It's unnecessary. Grievous words that hurt or are harsh, and stir up means to rouse, increase, and cause. So it's really important. Proverbs 14:29, which is just back a chapter, or just maybe even a page in your Bible, it says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You see, when I, and if I am the person that gets said something, I'm supposed to be slow to wrath. Something said to me, but if, or done to me. But if I say something to someone else, and it's not intended to incite anger or get them upset, but it does, and they say something back at me because I've wounded them in a way I did not know or intend, or made an accusation in their mind, I'm not supposed to match their anger with anger. Okay? And that's hard for us to do because our natural reaction is to give back. Oh, yeah? And let people have back what they gave to us. And so it's very important that we understand that if anger appears, it's our job as individuals to respond quickly and politely. That word slow means patient, and it's very important. The word hasty means not thought out. So it's very, very important that we just understand that if anger appears, to respond quickly, humbly, and sincerely, okay, with wisdom. The fourth thing is humility is key to peace. Humility is key to peace. Pride loves nothing more than itself. That it is its own biggest fan. And when we feel like someone is pushing on our pride, it can really get things going. And humility, which is what God calls us to, is a powerful antidote to disagreement. Okay. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29 with me, please. Proverbs chapter 29, verses 22 and 23. Are you got there? It says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low. This comes right on the heels of the previous verse. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see, an angry man who stirs up strife and is a furious man who abounds in transgression, in other words, a furious person, someone who's not controlling their temper, is going to get in a lot of problems. They're going to have a lot of other problems, sympathetic byproducts of their temper. But the pride brings him low. We think of pride as exalting us, and yet pride actually results in just the opposite. It brings us down. It diminishes us. It diminishes our... If you have a legitimate position, defending it with pride makes you the focus instead of the position, and you can have somebody reject a legitimate position because of how you're presenting it, because you're so proud or arrogant. Okay, and that's important to understand that there are parts to communication that include far more than just the words. As a matter of fact, words are the smallest fraction of all communication. Our body language, our gestures. And we can depict pride in our body language, in our posture, in our look, a proud look, the Bible says. Okay, it's possible to send out the sense of pride a lot of different ways. We have a lot of different vehicles. But the point is that humility is a key. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." My point in that is this. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit when we're on the threshold of conflict. We need to have God's leading and guiding and be under his influence when we're on the threshold of conflict. But if we have pride, we're not on God's side at that point in time. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humility allows us to keep a clear head in the midst of a potential conflict. It allows us to see things as God sees them, because humility takes us out of the center and ideally puts God back in the center. And we look at things from God's perspective. But pride always puts us in the center. So it's very important. And turn to Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians is just amazing. And here in chapter 3, we have some really good admonition from the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 12, look at verse 12. It says, "Put on, clothe yourself, make this your choice. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Why? Because you need to be forbearing one to another and forgive one another. "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." You see, humility allows us to forbear and to express forgiveness. You know, every time that someone does something to you or to me, more than likely, they're doing something that we have done to someone else in the words or their actions, some sort of harshness. I'm not talking about extreme things. I'm talking about conflict here. And it's important that we have humility, a humble heart toward this issue. If we will do that, you see, pride is all about defending yourself. How much did Christ defend himself? Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not against them that did that, right? He didn't defend himself. Did that mean he was any less Christ? Was he any less right? Was he any less holy or just? No. You see, at the end of the day, how we treat each other matters. It really does matter to God. Pastor Caleb mentioned this morning the fact that they will know that we are Christians by our love one for another. Now, there's no way that a bunch of people like us, who are all just people, can do the great things that God calls us to do in the church without the opportunity for disagreement from time to time. That's why it's so important that we realize that we need to make sure that when disagreement does arise, it's not because we're sowing it. We're not sowing it. Also, that we realize that conflict is easiest to stop at the beginning. Recognize that when it starts, and use kindness and humility to deal with it. Thirdly, if anger appears, make sure we respond as opposed to react in such a way with soft words that turns it away. And then pray for and develop humility, the mind of Christ, so pride doesn't embrace the call to fight. Because pride wants to fight. It does. And even when we don't fight verbally, we can listen to someone and we can not say a word, but in our minds be tearing them down. In our minds we can be saying, "Oh, you're just an idiot. I'm listening to you." And the whole time you're thinking, "You're just the biggest nut I've ever seen. I can't wait to be away from you." That's no better. That's no better. Because it still reflects our heart. We're going to disagree. When we do, we talk about it humbly and honestly. And we care more about people than positions unless those positions are biblical in nature. Okay? And even then, our goal is to teach and to educate and inform. We should go to the Word of God. We should pray about things. But more, it's so important that we realize that we can't avoid this misunderstanding because we're not perfect communicators. But we can avoid conflict if both are Christ-like and both respond. If nobody wants a fight, there won't be a fight. It just doesn't happen, okay? But if somebody wants a fight, even if you don't, and you try these other things, then the next best thing is to walk away. To humbly, I clearly can't please you, or we can't seem to agree right now, so let's just step apart for a little bit and come back and talk about it later. But unresolved conflict, when there has been conflict, unresolved conflict doesn't just disappear. It stays there. If you or I have wronged someone, we need to go to them and say, hey, just when I talked to you the other day about this stuff, I was not in the right spot. I was being proud, or I was being pushy, or I just had some real strong feelings about it and I came on too strong. Just own it. Just own it. Because we should care more about each other than our view. Amen? And if we do these things, this is all practical, folks. This is practical. Listen first. Ask good questions. Don't give in to anger. Realize that stopping conflict is easiest at the beginning. It's hard to stop an argument when it's deep into it. It really is, because it's gotten out of hand. Maybe no one's behaving like they're out of control, but it has gotten out of control in terms of its productivity. And so we follow these admonitions. We'll find ourselves having good conversations, like iron sharpens iron. We'll have ourselves encouraging each other, challenging each other in godly ways to growth and Christ-likeness, which is good. But we live in a world that is very much into this whole political correctness. Everybody's view is the same, and we all just agree and all that kind of stuff. And the fact of the matter is, honest conversation and honest discussion about things, especially things in the Word of God, is a great opportunity for us to grow. But we have to realize that every time someone says, well, I don't quite see it that way, that's not the invitation to a fight. So we need to be not inclined, and if somebody else, we appear to be inciting somebody else, to take action quickly. Because whether we meant it or not, that's how they perceive it. We have an opportunity to do something about that. All righty. Comments or thoughts? Does it make sense? How many of you can think of a conflict in the past that you could have avoided but didn't? Yeah. You know, I think that one of the ways that we have a powerful testimony among the lost is in how we deal with disagreement out in the world. When someone disagrees with us, when you're at a grocery store or at a service provider or at a restaurant and someone disagrees with you about something, how we respond as Christians really is a powerful part of our testimony. And it should look different. Okay? So let's make sure that we are not looking for a fight. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I want to thank you this evening for your time and your word and the practical advice that you give us, dear God. I pray that you would help me to be better at this. At each one of these, be better at listening. Be better at asking questions, dear God. I pray that you would help me to be better at recognizing things early when I have maybe offended someone else or said something that disturbs them and be concerned about them, dear God. And God, I just pray that you'd help each one of us as Christian brothers and sisters to manifest humility in our lives. And dear Lord, that we would, by doing so, we would become comfortable helping each other grow. And dear God, that we would not be agitators of each other. In Christ's name, amen. Let's turn, if you would, please, to 677. Let's all stand together as we sing. 677. Blessed be the tie that binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is love.
God, thank you so much for the day. Lord, for all of the times we had to fellowship together, to worship together, Lord, to hear the word preached and to apply it. I pray you just be with us throughout this week. Watch over us, dear God. Lord, I just praise you and thank you that you do not leave us where we are. So grow us in Christ likeness, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.